Welcome back to His Time. Rod Zwanitzer and Buzz Ulrich filling in for Andy Bates, who's under the weather today. So, Andy, take care of yourself. Get back soon. It's a little past 8:05. Time on His Time for getting into the daily lectionary. And we encourage you to open up your Bible via the hard copy or electronic. Turn to Acts chapter 24. That will be our text today. And join in with your questions, your comments on that text. 314-821-0850, the number in the St. Louis listening area, or if you have that beloved free long-distance unlimited plan. And toll-free North America, 800-730-2727. Or you can give us your question or your comment via email, kfuo@kfuo.org. In the studio with me today is Pastor Bill Liebman from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. Welcome in this day to His Time, Bill.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit what the good Lord is doing there at Emmanuel in Barnhart, Missouri.
In Barnhart, Missouri, we just finished our VBS, and we're very thrilled to have 32 people involved.
We started an
adult course, which we had not had before.
An adult VBS?
Yes.
How neat.
We actually had some people show up, too.
Great. So you did 5 days with them?
Yes.
Excellent. Did they enjoy it?
Yes, I think they did. It was interesting. A lot of theologians would disagree with me, but I think Bible study is really where it's at.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Well, the divine service, we have the word and the sacraments. In the Bible study, people have the opportunity to ask questions and to personally get involved as they're growing together in that word. And then they have the reason to go to the divine service.
And with a small number like you're talking about, I think it breaks down the inhibitions of people to ask questions, you know, where they don't understand. So I know as a pastor, we really like that because you can get immediate feedback, what they're getting and understanding and what's going and what their concerns are.
Yes, and I do the same thing with adult information classes. I find it works much better to have the couple rather than a bunch of people. Because many times you've got someone who comes in from a different background, and they've got some questions about what we believe and what we teach, and then they are embarrassed to ask in front of other people. But if it's just them and their spouse, oh boy, can we get in to have some fun.
Yeah, I would always say, you know, that there's just a few rules that we have in adult instruction class, and one is that there are no dumb questions. and I tell them that when I went as an adult back for a refresher course, you know, the pastor was saying that, and so I always wanted to ask a pastor this question as a layperson. What does it mean, the epistle for today? And the pastor said, wow, that's an interesting question. How many of the rest of you would like to know what that means? And there was probably 25 of us in that group. And I think 23 out of the 25 wanted to know what an epistle meant. Mm-hmm. I never knew. And it's a fancy word for a letter.
Right.
And so people grow when they can have that kind of environment. Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to have you here. And we hope the Lord blesses our listeners worldwide. That they might, get some answers today from Acts 24. And you can ask those questions via our phone numbers or our email, 314-821-0850 or 800-730-2727. Email is kfuo@kfuo.org. Well, let's jump right into it, and we're going to take kind of some chunks by chunks. Acts 24. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and everywhere we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him. The Jews also joined in the charge, affirming that all these things were so. So we got through the first nine verses, Bill. Give us some background. So maybe the listener out there that didn't hear yesterday from Acts 23, how this situation came about with Paul and the governor. And then let's talk about some things that really come to your attention when you read these first nine verses.
Well, Paul has been traveling throughout what was at that time called Asia, present-day Turkey, and he had, in the latter days, been gathering an offering. And as he was continuing to gathering this offering, he would visit the various churches where he had been before, and they were warning him, "Don't go, don't go. The Lord appeared to us. You got trouble ahead." Paul said, no, this is where I got to go. I got to be. We're not going to worry about the trouble. We're going to just do what we feel the Lord wants us to do. And so he continues on to Jerusalem. When he gets there, he goes into the temple to do the things that he said he was going to do. One thing was to make the offering, this monies that were gathered for the poor. And while he's there, some people from Asia who had been a part of the insurrections there against Paul in Philippi, he was in jail. In Ephesus, there was that great big riot that ended up in the Ephesian temple.
Sure.
And so they recognized Paul. They said, "There's the guy. We got to get him.
The troublemaker."
Yeah, he's the troublemaker, see? And he's the one that caused all that trouble back home. So we're going to get him now. And so they stirred up the Jews against Paul there in the temple and were going to kill him immediately. But Lysias, the commander, came in, rescued Paul, took him out, and they were actually going to beat him. But he asked, he says, "Is this proper to do to a Roman citizen?" Because Paul was a Roman citizen. And they said, wait a minute. We can't do that. So they checked it out and found out he was, and so then they set him up for a proper trial. In the meantime, the Sanhedrin decided that they were going to kill Paul. A bunch of them made a pledge, "We will not eat until Paul is dead."
So they got a conspiracy to take matters in their own hands, not trust the Romans, I take it.
Exactly. And so Paul's nephew heard about this, and so he warned the commander. The commander then said, "Well, we got to get him out of town." So they sent him over to Caesarea to get him away from this plot against him. And that's pretty much where we pick up the text today.
Okay, so this Caesarea would have been where the governor Felix had his headquarters. And so that's the scenario we find ourselves in.
That's right. If I were the governor, I would want to be in Caesarea, then Jerusalem too. It's right a beautiful sea coast. And
yeah, you get the sea breeze, which we're kind of enjoying in the St. Louis area right now, not from water, but just a beautiful, cool breeze. So in the hot part of the climate, this is a great place to be. This is amazing. So if memory serves me right, Bill, in that previous chapter, The Roman authority says, we're going to hear from this Paul, and we're going to ask for some of these Jews to come and hear what they have against this guy, right?
Right.
And that's where this Tertullus and some elders, Tertullus being the spokesman, I guess, the guy that's going to speak for this group, they come down, and that's the first part we have here, right?
Yes, sir.
And what grabs you out of their accusations?
Well, in the first place, there doesn't seem to be much substance. There's a lot of generalities that he's throwing out there. Nothing really specific that they can nail down. There's no witnesses.
Yeah, it's kind of name-calling, isn't it?
Which
if you listen to our time, you hear a lot of that. You don't hear much substance, you should say, but you hear. And how about this one I was going to, in verse 5, for we have found this man a plague. A plague. What's behind that?
Well, it's kind of like the same thing we experience today when someone comes along with some pretty wild ideas, and these wild ideas start catching on. We see that as a plague among our people. And this is what the Jews saw. Now, they were very sincere in what they believed and what they practiced. And when Jesus came along, I mean, for us today, that'd be like some hippie down in the river baptizing people and taking them away from our church. Well, that wasn't going to make him very popular with the church. So this is kind
and,
of
the
way people...
And cutting into the offerings, the yeah. treasury
oh,
chest,
absolutely.
Right? So is it fair to say that this guy, Jesus, and then his spokesman, Paul, and the rest of the apostles, they were cutting into the existing Jewish church leaders' power and their money and their influence?
Yeah, and he refers to them as a sect. A sect would be something apart from the accepted norm, in their case, the Jewish religion, what we call the Old Testament. And Paul, later on, he says, I'm not a sect. He says, we do what the Bible says. We are following everything that's going in. We're not a sect. The whole, all of Christianity
yeah.
is a continuation of the Old Testament.
Yeah, we're going to get to that later on. And you know, I think a lot of our listeners out there, Bill, did not really get it. That what was the Bible of Jesus and Paul that he's referring to and they're referring to? What kind of scripture did they have in their day?
Genesis through Malachi.
So they had our Older Testament there.
Right.
And so that's the accusation, is they're not really following what all of the traditions and we, the leaders, tell the people it ought to be. And Jesus and Paul kind of come along and turn that topsy-turvy, don't they?
Yes.
In what important way would Paul, because Paul used to be a part of them, was he not? And now he's changed.
He was a Pharisee, yes.
Yeah. What kind of would distinguish the main focus and proclamation of both of, you know, the we'll even talk about it with Paul, the former Paul, the zealous Pharisee, and now the Paul, the converted Christian spokesman.
The Old Testament points to Christ as the Savior, but the Old Testament also has the law, which the New Testament also has, but the Old Testament has this law, and the people got this world view. If I'm good enough, God will love me. And this is the whole push of the Old Testament church, was this whole idea of works righteousness. They failed to see God already loves you. And this is what Jesus and Paul and the disciples are trying to get across to the people, is God already loves you. It isn't you have to do something to earn his love.
Yeah. And isn't that magnificent? I love that phrase that Jesus turned one day. We said, you know, let's answer this one. Were you made to be under the law, or is the law meant to serve you? Amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that's really different than what these people at even Paul's time that are after him, what they think the Bible says.
Yes. And today, I think this is one of the most difficult areas that we have to confront in the church, is this idea that it's not what I do, it's what God has done for me, that I put my trust in him and not in myself.
Yeah, and how much of that for salvation is God's work and not ours, Bill?
It's all God's work.
And isn't that the hardest part, is we want a little role, you know? We want a little part. God can do a lot of it, but we want our little part that we have to finish up.
I'd rather do it myself.
Well said. And so that's an amazing passage that we're talking about, verse 5. We found this man a plague, stirs up riots among the Jews throughout the world, and is a ringleader of this sect of the Nazarenes that you're talking about. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. Was that correct? Was Paul profaning the temple?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, he was cleansed. He was purified. He followed all the restrictions, all the rules. He still tried to be the good Jew, in spite of the fact that now it was a Christian norm. He still wanted to be a good Jew. And even if that meant throwing away circumcision and you know, the requirements and things like that, he still wanted to be a good Jew. So he was in the temple doing what he was supposed to do. And he even had Timothy circumcised.
Sure.
To meet the requirements of the Jews, not because he thought it was necessary, but because they did. And he didn't want to be crossing them.
So, like, take away that from him and say, you know, I'm every bit as Jew as you are. I know what all this is about. But he would distinguish that is necessary for salvation, would you say, when he got a chance to be that specific?
No, he would not say circumcision is necessary for salvation. You know, he would simply point to Christ.
Yeah.
And your trust in him.
Nothing else would count. This other stuff might be nice tradition. And we have traditions which we say are good things, but they're not absolutely necessary for salvation, right?
Absolutely.
And we need to be clear on those as well. So they finalize this by examining him yourself. You will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him. That might not be the best thing to say, hey, talk to this guy. And you'll find out that we're right, because we find out, do we not, Bill, that Paul's pretty good at letting the word speak through him.
But this is part of the steps of the court, is that the judge would question the accused privately. And this is kind of what he's referring to. We see where Pontius Pilate questioned Jesus personally, privately.
And this is a good point.
This is the same thing now that Felix has to do with Paul. He's got to bring him in. After Paul has had a chance to defend himself, now the next step would be for the judge to question him personally.
Should we take on a little bit of that defense of Paul here and then chat about it?
Okay.
Okay. We're going to begin here at verse 10 then. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city." So let's just stop there. So Paul begins with his defense by saying, hey, you can verify, you can confirm this, that I went up to worship in Jerusalem no more than 12 days ago, and they didn't have any issue with me then. This happened later on. So he's starting off on a fairly good point, is he not?
He is trying to show that the accusations are without merit, and this is all he can really do at this point.
So these accusations that he profaned the temple, he's trying to stir up riots in his favor, is just not matching up with the evidence, the facts.
No, he was trying to fit in. He's coming into town. He's just trying to fit in as another Jew who is doing what he feels God wants him to do. He isn't gathering people around him. He doesn't trying to pitch a philosophy or anything else. And so there's really nothing, no substance to the accusations.
You know, I've always thought, too, that, God is just an amazing, God of executing his plan. And he does things in such good timing. We don't even understand it sometimes that, picking a guy like Paul, that his background as a follower of the Jewish faith was profound, isn't it? Paul gives evidence about his pedigree. You want to share a little of that? I mean, I would have thought to Jews, if Paul rolled into town and came in your synagogue, wow, or even talk with Gentiles, you'd be scared out of your tree, because this guy had quite the past, did he not?
He did that. He had a pedigree like you wouldn't believe. He speaks of himself and he says, "I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees." I mean, I out-Phariseed all of those guys.
I like that.
He really did. He did everything according to the book. He was the top scholar. He was the guy who was at the top of the list all the way through.
He studied under probably the most famous rabbi next to Jesus, right?
Right. And this is what Paul's whole thing is. He no one is advancing like I was advancing.
Yeah, and even he talks about his tribal heritage as a Jew. You can't get much better than what he was a part of, because tribe and your ancestry in Jews was important too, wasn't it?
Right. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, and his whole history was there to back him up. It's like today being born with a silver spoon.
Yeah.
And he had it.
Yeah.
And so he thought, I had my road is paved. I am on my way to be the seminary, be the president of the seminary here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he takes a sidetrack because he realizes that the way of the Pharisees is not God's way, because God himself comes to him.
You know, now Paul mentions this in his defense, I think, in verse 14. And you and I, having to work in the Hebrew, which is such a blessing, and the Greek when we go to seminary, the way in Hebrew is an important word. I remember that, Derek. So when a Jew would say, I am a follower of the way, that would mean a lot more than us English-speaking people. Give us a little bit of what that way, why would, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul talks about that too. And the Bible says, you know, the Christians were first not called Christians. They were called followers of the way. What's behind that?
The way is simply the way of Christ. It is the way of the Messiah. It is the way that people are saved. It is not a way that people might be saved, but this is a place of confidence. We read in the scriptures very often the word hope. This is our hope. I find that very meaningless in today's language because we have so misused the word hope. I hope it doesn't rain today.
Yeah.
You know, that's not
or
a confidence.
Or I hope my medical tests come out good or my scores on the test if for people that are in schools.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the meaning in the scripture is, this is my confidence. This is what I'm sure of. This is the way.
This is the path to the best there can be, paradise restored, right?
Exactly.
So, we've lost a lot of that meaning in the words, haven't we?
Especially in that word hope. I just, you know, every time it shows up in a text, I have to help people through that because it sort of waters down what the scriptures meant to say.
Yeah. And the way means there's only one path. There's only one road. One name, as the Bible says.
That's not very popular today.
No, it's scandal of particularity, and we have lost so much this absolute truth, it's called by some. But the Bible is clear on this, is it not, Bill? And Paul believes it because God showed it to him that Jesus is the only way, the only name, the only belief that will get you where you want to go, and that's eternal life with God.
There is no other way, yeah.
So, he says here, neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me, verse 13, but I confess to you that according to the way, which they call a sect, so as you were saying, he's not agreeing that it's a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, but that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. Now, he's making a bigger point than what we would understand there, because these different divisions of the Jewish faith in that day, resurrection was a dividing line, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, the Sadducees didn't accept it at all. And this is what got Paul into trouble here.
Yeah.
At the first trial, you know, before the Sanhedrin. He saw it was going bad. And so he turned around and said, I agree with you. I believe in the resurrection. All of a sudden, the Sadducees, who are the main body, boy, they came unglued.
Yeah, yeah. And, a lot of people are divided by that, too, in our day. I hear a lot of younger people say, I believe Jesus existed, but he was just a great man, a great teacher, a great moralist. But I don't believe that he was God in the flesh or resurrected for, to show me that it's a done deal for me. And we still have problems with that today, sharing it with people to get them to believe it.
Yes, we do. It's something that is extraordinary. We don't see people raising from the dead. We don't see that going on today. And so, therefore, it can't happen. But it did happen. And for me, this is one of the proofs of the Bible. Peter and James and John and all the other disciples, their lives from that point on were miserable. And they willingly accepted that to proclaim the risen Christ because they saw it. Mm-hmm. They knew it was
true.
They
were eyewitnesses, we could say.
Absolutely. And why would they accept that lifestyle if they didn't know it was true?
Or even more so, why, as some would argue, these so-called scholars of the Bible, that they were just making this up, they were just embellish it. And what's your response to that? I think you're going where I would go.
Why would they make it up So that they could have a life that was miserable,
and
life
that was persecuted. And eventually, yeah, be persecuted and martyred for that.
Right.
I would say at the end, hey, the gig's up. You caught me.
I was only joking.
Yeah, it's not worth dying, okay? It's not worth dying over these stories I made up. Yeah, they did, didn't they? All of them. Which should give us cause for concern that these guys really believed this and saw it. And that's the highest form of evidence even our court of law. Let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk more about Acts 24 and this Paul's defense with Pastor Bill Liebman of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Serving seniors wherever they call home. That's Lutheran Senior Services' private duty. For older adults who need a little help with the activities of everyday life, a variety of solutions are available that enable seniors to remain as independent as possible. Our range of personal and supportive care services are broad and easily tailored to individual needs. Daily, weekly, or monthly care can be arranged. Lutheran Senior Services' private duty. Learn more at lssliving.org.
Jesus in the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Thanks for sticking with us here on His Time. We're in the daily lectionary from the Treasury of Daily Prayer. What a great resource for you and your family. You can get that through CPH. That's official lectionary and prayer book here of His Time. We're having a good time talking with Pastor Bill Liebman, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri. If you're in that area, look up Pastor Liebman, because sounds like he sincerely has a great time taking people through the Scriptures. And, you know, we were talking before we even went on the air that some people are really, you know, concerned. They don't want to, they have all these questions and concerns and even challenges to the faith, and they don't really want to ask them in public. Well, you know, Pastor Liebman has a great answer. Hey, if you don't want to do that in a group, I'll even do it with you one-on-one or a couple, which is nice, isn't it, Bill?
Yes, sir.
So if you're in that area and want to find out what the Bible really teaches, only from the Bible. I used to do that challenge, you know, if I can't show you from the Bible, don't believe it. And sometimes it would take me a while to find it, but we can find it, can't we, Bill? Bill, we were looking at the Bible here in Acts 24. We invite you to welcome us. We only have about 12 minutes left. 314-821-0850 or 800-730-2727. Let's pick it up when Paul says, there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So not just the believers who are justified, but the unjust, they're going to be resurrected too for judgment, aren't they?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they certainly will. And I think it's important for us to realize that the just are made so by Christ, not by what they did. It's not a matter of a records keeping.
Yeah.
I did this and I did this and I did this, therefore I am just. No, it's God did this, God did this, God did this other thing, therefore he gives me that justice.
And you know, when we say this word just and justified, it's a courtroom term. And so in that courtroom, and I've been there, unfortunately, I made was accused of making an illegal turn in Colorado, and I was a citizen of another state, and in the trial, you know, the judge asked me, hey, Rod, how do you plead? And I said, not guilty. But in this court of God, you have to plead guilty. And that's the amazing thing is, as you were saying, it's not anything that we do. We plead guilty to the charges of breaking God's law. And how does he come back with the verdict, with the sentence?
Justified.
Yeah, not guilty because of?
Because of Christ.
Ah, that's
because
a great point.
There's a story told about President Jackson. George Wilson was found guilty of mail robbery and murder. He was sentenced to hang. The president pardoned him, justified him, and he refused. George Wilson refused the pardon. And it went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court finally ruled the pardon is just a piece of paper until it is received by the individual.
Oh, that's a great, illustration, isn't it? Are you saying that there's forgiveness, pardon of all people's offenses against God, their sins, but it doesn't count until each individual receives and accepts that pardon, that forgiveness?
And that's only by faith.
Yeah, great story. I'm going to have to use that one. I'd never heard that one before. That's excellent, Bill. That's an excellent illustration. So let's finish this up. Verse 16, so I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now, after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. There you go. He's bringing this gift to Jerusalem. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, they ought to be here before you and to make an accusation should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council, other than this one thing that I cried out while standing among them. It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day. There we go with the resurrection again. So what's Paul developing here in this thought, Bill?
He's trying to split the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, so that they won't stand united against him, but rather fighting among themselves to the point where Felix just says, hey, you guys need to get your act together and let Paul go. But because Paul came with this money, I think what Felix is going to do here, he's going to say, oh, he's got some cash. He's got some friends. Tell you what, maybe if I keep him here long enough, they'll come and buy him out of prison.
Ah, yes. Yeah, so we can, more revenue, so let's just hold on here and see what develops.
Much like today.
Yeah, money talks, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, but Felix, verse 22, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, there we go that again, put them off, saying, why, when Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case. Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're onto something there, that he's thinking, he got a lot of money to bring this down there from a lot of people. A lot of people might want his freedom, mm-hmm. Right?
Right. And so he's leaving the door open for the friends to come in, and he's saying, I will decide his case. And yet there's no record, there's no indication anywhere that Lysias is ever asked to come to Caesarea.
Wow. So this is just...
put on hold.
Put on hold. Yeah. And how about that part in verse 22, Felix having a rather accurate knowledge of the way. Knowledge of the way doesn't get you where you need to be, does it?
No. There's a lot of people who are able to pronounce the name Jesus, who could even give you a history of Jesus' life, but have no belief, they have no faith, they have no trust in what Jesus has accomplished for them.
Know a lot of facts, but as Jesus says, they really don't know me, and in return, I don't know them as mm-hmm. a believer, a follower of the way. They might know a lot, but they really don't know me, and I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to use a story on that, Bill, that I'm an avid golfer. My favorite golfer, and I've got to walk beside him a couple of times and watch him play, Freddie Couples. I can tell you a lot about Fred Couples. You know, he grew up in Seattle area. Then he went on to play golf at the University of Houston. His most famous win was at the Masters, a miraculous shot. But if you went to Fred Couples and say, do you know Rod Zwanzer? He would go, who? I think that's a lot of people with Jesus. They can tell you some stories. They've got some knowledge of the Bible. But if you were to ask Jesus, do you know this person as a Christian, as a follower of the way? No, I don't know it. That's where it all it needs to be, doesn't it?
Paul says he tries to keep a clear conscience. And this is not Paul saying, this is how I'm going to get to heaven. This is not. He's saying, I want to do what God wants me to do. Yet, in last Sunday's text, the good that I would, I do not do, and yet the evil that I would not do,
yeah.
I do.
That old Romans 7 that helps so much for us believers that know we can't keep the law perfectly, even now that we're saved.
But we have forgiveness.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
With just a little time left, some takeaways for the listeners out there on this text, Bill, for their faith.
First of all, Jesus tells them, don't worry about what you're going to say before kings and princes.
Ooh, boy, that's the beginning of the Book of Concord. That's quote is there.
But this is it. This is it for you and for me. Don't be afraid. God will be there. He's there for Paul. Paul is now on his way to appear before Nero. And as he goes through each step, God is with him, showing him, giving him the words to say. If this isn't Paul's wisdom coming out here, this is God's wisdom as God is helping him.
Oh, that's beautiful. So in essence, God's plan is going to be carried out, and sometimes it looks like that we might not be the most glamorous part of it, but nonetheless, Christ's salvation is being proclaimed through Paul's life, through our life.
Absolutely. How blessed we are, no matter what the walk is, to be able to serve God.
We got to stop here in a couple of minutes, but Pastor Bill Liebman, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Barnhart, Missouri, certainly enjoyed it because what I was thrilled with about our discussion is you really focused us on Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and Paul was doing that, and the joy and privilege, even under arrest, even under persecution, to witness to Christ is good. That's good for all of our people, isn't it?
Absolutely. We need to know that God is with us, no matter what we're doing. God is with us.
He promises never to leave us, never to abandon us. Well, may God strongly go with you and proclaiming his word in Barnhart and wherever the Lord leads you. Thanks for being such a great guest today.
Thank you, sir.
And stick with us here, because when we come back for some breaks, we're going to continue with a new thing, which we hope you really like. It's a missionary moment, where we hear with a missionary and his family about what the Lord is doing in calling them, placing them, and allowing them in sometimes unbelievable circumstances to proclaim this gospel of Jesus Christ. So encourage you to listen to these and even give us some feedback on what you think of this missionary moment. Stick with us. We'll be right back with that blessed moment with a missionary here on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.